But we know that for us as churches and as Christians, reconciliation is a key word, and it is rooted in our Bible. If we go to the Old Testament, we read about the Holy God who doesn't accept sin, but who is also merciful, giving grace by sacrifice. And we know that in Judaism they mark this with the Yom Kippur holiday, the Day of Reconciliation, which is the most important Jewish holiday. In the New Testament, and we know that this sacrifice in the Old Testament is pointing towards the final and only necessary sacrifice in the New Pact, Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation and the precondition for our salvation. And we can read about this in the second letter to the Corinthians, in the fifth chapter, where I will quote three verses from verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Reconciliation. And we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. And this is, in a way, the vertical dimension of reconciliation. But it's also clear in the New Testament that reconciliation is used about the relations between us as human beings. The horizontal dimension of reconciliation. So let us therefore also read some few verses from the Gospel of Matthew in the fifth chapter, verse 23 and 24, where we find the following. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Reconciliation, also on the horizontal level. This should be a source for us as Christians to be promoters of reconciliation, both on the individual level but also in society. And the churches should play a role in this year, which is the UN Year of Reconciliation 2009. And for me it's also obvious, and I think for all of us, that a precondition for a true reconciliation is the truth. The truth. And that is also inspired from our Holy Scripture. Because, as we heard, confess your sin and you will be reconciled and you will be saved. And I also do believe that reconciliation is a precondition for lasting peace. Without reconciliation, you cannot have a lasting peace. It will not be sustainable. If those who stood against each other, not reconciled, you always will have a source for a new conflict. So truth, reconciliation, and peace, in my view, are linked closely to each other. At the end of my short introduction, I will just give you some few impressions from my political and church life to explain what I mean. You remember some years ago we had a very tough conflict around the Muhammad cartoons, even in Norway, because they were printed also there. You know most about Denmark, you heard about that, but it was also printed in Norway. What happened? In Norway we had more than 10 years of tradition of a dialogue between all the main religions and lifestyles in our country. And especially also a cooperation with the Islamic Council in Norway and the Church Council. Immediately after printing of the cartoons, where it also came up, a conflict in Norway, they called for a meeting between the Islamic Council and the Church Council of Norway. And they had a good discussion. They knew each other from before. They came out with a common statement where they made a balance between respect for what is sacred and their religious feelings for the Muslims on the one hand and the freedom of expression on the other. And they reached out hands to each other in public. They reconciled and they calmed down the conflict. That was very different from what happened in Denmark, where they did not have this tradition of dialogue and where it was a very tough conflict. Another example from Kenya. I think we have good friends from Kenya also here today, and we remember the unfortunate violent conflict in Kenya a year ago after the presidential election. And unfortunately, in the beginning of that conflict, the churches did not play a constructive role. Opposite. They contribute to stir up the conflict. But after some time, it changed. And they had this national day of prayer all around Kenya. I was down there some weeks later and I was told a special thing happened in one of the churches, maybe in others also. There were gathered there people from different tribes and clans who stood against each other in the violent conflict. And one man stood up and said, "I am responsible for violence against other people in this local church, sitting here today. And I ask you to come up here. You know who it is." And he reached out his hand and they reconciled in front of this audience in the local congregation. That was reconciliation. And we know that still they are working on the reconciliation in Kenya. When I was foreign minister 20 years ago in Norway, I had the honor to participate at the start of the first meetings between the guerrilla in Guatemala and the government. It was a very special experience. They met for the very first time. They were sitting down outside Oslo. They started the process, and they started by reconciling. And we know that after 6 years, they achieved the peace agreement. It was based on the truth, because they came up with all what happened. And they had to confess their sins, to reach out hands, and still they have peace in Guatemala. These were only some few examples of what can happen if we really start by reconciling. Truth must be the platform for reconciliation. So reconciliation, and that can lead to a lasting peace. What we also hope for and pray for in Kenya in these days. I'm going back there next week and we'll assess the situation.